Now, a lot of time we kind of go about our life and we don't really enter into other people's worlds. We're kind of in our own little world, aren't we? And we make labels up of people in that kind of category, that category. And I suppose we do that with homeless people as well. Kathy A. Small went beyond her world and has got a book called The Man in the Dog Park, Coming Up Close to Homelessness. So we're going to speak to Kathy now. How are you, Kathy?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you. How is Arizona at the moment?
Arizona is cool and beautiful because I live at 7,000 feet in the mountains.
that's the cooler end of Arizona.
Yeah, right.
And what is the COVID-19 situation like there at the moment?
The COVID, it is not good here.
No.
In Arizona. It's one of the states where the numbers have been rising, and it's particularly bad for homeless people.
Oh, yes,
you know, as it is for anybody in institutional situations if they're living inside the shelter.
Yeah. And that's when it really should fall to, I suppose it will fall to charities, but also local councils, local governments should be really helping out. We've seen here in Spain, when we had the lockdown situation, that local town halls and authorities kind of upped the level of support for people who were living on the streets. So that was good to see in that particular instance.
Yes, and we are trying to do the same. And right now, because of the numbers of people who are getting COVID in shelters, we've moved them into motels.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's expensive for the population, and it really points to that people should be living in homes to begin with. We should be supporting them to do that in other times.
Yes, and we wouldn't have this situation right now if that was the case.
Right.
Now, tell us how your story with the man in the park came about, because like I said earlier, a lot of times we kind of stay in our own world. We don't really venture far from it.
Well, you know, and I think it would have been the same for me. I do have a little of that anthropology in my background, so I'm used to crossing worlds. But this came about serendipitously. I walk my dog every day in a dog park, and this was one day that I was doing it in the morning, and it was a little dark because the sun hadn't quite come up.
Yeah.
And I saw a man sitting there, and I felt the fear.
Yes.
Because there was no one else around, that I really should not go in that dog park. And I looked around and I saw, oh well, he has a dog, and I ventured in, but I stayed very close to the gate of the dog park, thinking if he moves, I am moving out that gate. And I remembered the feeling of the fear.
Yeah.
Because I saw this man again and again. We began a conversation. This was in 2008. We developed a friendship over the years. And as I found out more about his life, he did turn out to be homeless. He did turn out to be a felon. That as I found out more about what he was up against than the other people out there who were homeless, I thought it was a story worth telling.
Yeah.
And so there are interviews not only with him, but with maybe 75 different interviews in the book that it comes out of. And what I really began to see is life from a homeless point of view, and that's what I'm trying to show my readers.
Is it worth saying then that quite often we as human beings like to think we know, we like to find the reason why that person's in that situation, and we like to pinpoint it, we like everything to be black and white in an order, and we say, you know, you're a drug addict, that's the reason why you like this. But actually, lots of times the stories are not as clear cut as that.
I think that's right on the point. You know, that's exactly what I found, is that the way that I came to understand it, which is really how most people do, that it's some personal characteristic or situation that has created their homelessness. And even though those are sometimes involved also, really what I came to see, it's one of the more tragic consequences of poverty more than a personal situation.
Yeah.
and that if you had money and you also had an addiction to alcohol, say, you wouldn't end up being homeless, or if you had the resources. And it really is a combination of things. And the bigger factors are really more responsible than these individual things. And sometimes, too, I mean, one of the really interesting things is that sometimes the mental illness or the addiction that you sometimes see in some homeless yeah. people, it works the other way, that homelessness came first. And as a result of being in a homeless situation and in that kind of desperation, some of the addiction follows.
Yeah, so in other words, homelessness can be the root cause for a lot of psychological yes. issues. Yes, that's an interesting point, yeah. And quite often, a lot of us have that initial reaction that you had. And you wouldn't blame people for having that, because I think there's what we make a judgment, don't we? Quite a first impression of somebody. And obviously your first impression was kind of out of protection for yourself. But did that kind of teach you something about making judgments?
Absolutely it does. And the more, you know, I think it's true with any group, but the more you come to know them, the more you realize how much they're like you. Mm. And not a source of fear. And if there's one thing that came for me that was a gift to me from this, it's really not only more compassion, but just less fear in my life.
Yeah.
You know, about all that. And I was moved by, as I met more people, the ingenuity really it takes to live homeless. The strategies that people use so that they can stay clean and take a bath in a, you know, in a McDonald's sink.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the guy who I've come to know really well, a panhandler with bladder cancer, who lives in his car, and how he puts the food in the back window of the car and faces it toward the sun so that he can have something that almost tastes cooked. You know, the people who figure out that the yeah. cheapest way to live, where they just have a little cash from, because a lot of people are working, that they have a little cash, they're living in a storage unit. You know, so they buy a small storage unit for their stuff, but they don't put their stuff in there. They live in there. You know, there's just some amazing situations that people are in, and it just seems that the capitalism that we have now is just without compassion.
Yeah.
You know, the safety nets for these people are disappearing.
And quite often we can make the adjustment that these people have nothing to offer us. I live in an area sometimes where it's can be quite superficial, and people kind of make a judgment on you because you're not wearing the most fashionable clothing or the latest brand name or something. And then this has happened a few times, and I say, oh, what do you do? And I say, I'm a radio host, or I'm a pastor of a church, that's my other job. And suddenly, okay. So then suddenly you're of interest then. But quite often we look for people and we decide whether they're going to have an input into our lives, whether there's any value that they can bring to our lives.
Yeah, it's a great point, because with homeless people particularly, what happens is that if you're homeless, it becomes a master identity, and it overshadows anything else that you are. So when you see somebody homeless, you don't think, do they have a good sense of humor? Were they good at math? Where did they grow up? What did their mother look like? Mm. You're not asking the other questions that you ask of people that give them their fullness and their richness. And it's true that it's the same, of course. We just don't get a chance to see it.
Yeah. And how does this, I mean, obviously no spoilers here, because we want people to buy the book, of course, Kathy, don't we? But how does your relationship develop? Does it become far more of a two-way relationship rather than a one-way relationship as far as You know what I'm saying, though, as far as, you know,
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely is a two, you know, now, and he's not homeless now, my homeless co-author. He co-authored the book with me, and we're having, you know, a remarkable time doing this, usually together, but because of COVID, we can't be here together. You know, the friendship that developed, you know, took a number of years, and it just, it for me, it took me into a world that I would have never entered, and I am very grateful for that. But really, the friendship we have now is just. Is just a deep friendship, and we see each other. We see each other on a regular basis, and he is now involved in these issues of homelessness as well, from a different angle.
We can look at it from a political point of view, and sometimes I've actually interviewed people about homelessness in Los Angeles and in San Francisco and different places over the years. Coming from Europe, where we do have homelessness here, but we do have quite a good social care system, although I would say there was a lot of problems here in Spain as well. But the United States of America, richest nation on the face of the planet, why is there a problem there?
Well, I think it's the way that we're using our tax dollars and the way we're using our revenues. It really is more to promote business and profits than it is to equalize wealth.
So there's no level playing field then, because this is what they say, you know, anybody can make it in America. You know, it's the land of dreams.
Well, that maybe was true, but I think since the 1960s, the social policy has not supported that dream. In the 1960s, CEOs made 20 times more than the median salary of someone in their business, in their corporation, and by 2018, it was 200 teams. So it tells you about where the money is going, and as a result, the purchasing power of the minimum wage in our country, at least according to the New York Times last, peaked 1960. What does that mean if you're a minimum wage worker, which a lot of these folks are? You know, that's the other thing I found out. A lot of them are working, but they're making minimum wage. And so why are they living in a shelter or in the woods? It's because price of housing has gone up so much, but the purchasing power of the minimum wage has stagnated all these decades. As a result, there isn't a way, even working time in a lot of places, especially the places you're talking about, to be able to afford an apartment.
Well, unfortunately, we're having a slight problem with the phone line, and we are running out of time anyway. But Kathy, I really want to thank you for coming on. You raise a really important aspect of life that we can all learn more in as well. And I think here in Spain, it's been great to see people helping those that are in need during this lockdown period. But let's hope it continues as we come out of it as well. Kathy, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you for airing this issue.
Lovely. And the book is available. Let me just say this. The book is on our website, tre.radio. It's called The Man in the Dog Park, Coming Up Close to Homelessness. And it's by Kathy Acemore. Kathy, have a great day there in Arizona up the mountains.
Thank you.
Take care.
Dave.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.